All right, let's go to North Carolina now, one of several states where a political battle is playing out over new congressional districts. This morning, North Carolina's state Supreme Court heard a case brought by voting rights activists who say that redistricting maps drawn by the Republican-led legislature are unconstitutional. In this case, even the Supreme Court justices have come under attack. Jeff Tiberi is the Capitol Bureau Chief and host of the Politics Podcast on WUNC. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Peter.
So why don't you start by explaining why these new congressional maps are getting challenged in court in the first place?
So as you think about North Carolina, we are effectively an evenly divided state. About a third of all registered voters are Republican, about a third of all registered voters are Democrats, and then the final third are unaffiliated. And if you look at statewide races over the past 10 years or so, things have been consistently very even, pretty close. This was President Obama's closest victory in 2008. It was his most narrow defeat in 2012. The governor won in 2016 by less than 11,000 votes. So a narrow division here in North Carolina. But what happened with the latest districts, the latest 14 U.S. House seats, is that the way they were drawn, according to analysis from a number of folks, it would most likely yield 10 Republican seats, 3 Democratic seats, and 1 seat that is effectively 50-50, could go either way.
Oh, wow.
And what plaintiffs and a number of groups said was this amounts to an extreme partisan gerrymander that violates the state constitution.
So this may seem like a pretty basic question, but it sounds like these maps, if they were to go into effect, could have a pretty profound effect on the balance of power in North Carolina. What are people saying about that?
Well, Republicans have controlled the state legislature since 2011 now, and this would give them comfortable gains within the congressional delegation, and it may again give Republicans a veto-proof margin at the state level, in the state House and the state Senate. And ultimately, these voting rights groups, these voting advocates say that it just goes too far and something has to be done. And I think objectively, a lot of people who I've talked to on the right and the left will acknowledge that, sure, these are maps that do favor Republicans. But at the heart of this whole conversation, this issue, is whether or not that is illegal and at what point that is illegal. And then, if deemed illegal, what to do about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, meanwhile, it appears that politics is even creeping into the court here. There is a fight over whether 3 of the justices were biased in this case and whether they should recuse themselves. Tell us what's at stake on that front.
So the state Supreme Court here has 7 justices. They ended up all participating in this case, in this hearing on Wednesday morning. There were calls for recusals from both progressives and conservatives. So we'll start with Republicans who wanted to see Democrats Anita Earls and Sam Ervin IV step down. Now, Justice Earls won election to the court 3 years ago. Prior to that, she represented some groups that had sued in redistricting cases similar to this one. She actually worked for one of the organizations, which is now a plaintiff in the case. Republicans also wanted Justice Ervin to step down because he's in an election year, and there is some precedent for justices who are up for election here not to hear election cases in election years, okay? Then on the other side, Democrats said, hey, we would like Phil Berger Jr. to step down from this case. Now, Justice Phil Berger Jr. is the son of Phil Berger Sr., who's the leader of the state Senate, the most powerful person in North Carolina politics, and a named defendant in this case. But again, Peter, no justices stepped down in this case. But with the ramped up political rhetoric, that was part of the conversation.
Let's hear some tape from this morning's hearing. Here is the attorney defending the maps, Phil Strack, being questioned by the justice you mentioned, Sam Ervin.
Is it your contention that any time the court enunciates a legal standard for the first time, it is impermissibly legislating?
No, Your Honor, not at all. But the court's going to have to make several policy decisions that do not currently exist. It's literally going to have to create them out of whole cloth.
Jeff, you may need to do some translating there and also tell us what else jumped out from the court hearing this morning. I mean, did you get a sense of which way this may go?
So I mentioned there are 7 justices on the state's high court. 4 of them are Democrats. 3 of them are Republicans. So do with that what you will. There's a slight lean toward the Democrats, but we don't know. And ultimately, the question is about whether or not the state constitution is being violated here, whether extreme partisanship violates the free elections clause in North Carolina's state constitution. And what the attorney there for the Republican legislative defendants, I believe, was trying to get at is just what is the standard? So if these maps were to go into effect and Republicans were to have an 11-3 advantage among the North Carolina congressional delegation, is that too far? Well, what about what if it were 10-4 or 9-5 or 8-5? Like, at what point is it extreme? What is the standard that would have to be applied? And that's a pretty loaded question. And then I think he was also just pointing out, is it really the court's place to establish or put forth that standard, or ought it be the legislature's position to do so? So it's a complicated issue.
It is, and it's an important issue because these are questions that states all around the country are asking as they consider partisan gerrymandering. So thanks for taking the time today, Jeff, to talk to us about it and what's happening in North Carolina. Jeff Tiberi, Capital Bureau Chief and host of the Politics Podcast on WUNC in North Carolina. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Peter.